Hello, Top Dogs community. I'm Stream Arcadad.
And I'm Kit Claussen.
We're very excited to introduce our lovely Top Dogs community to Paws Fur Pride, a fundraising team led by Ursa and Arden Wolfsky. So, gentlemen, why don't you introduce yourselves? Let's start with you, Ursa.
Sure. So, I'm Ursa, or Last Ursa. You can find me on most spaces. And yeah, just a little bit about me. I'm a singer. I do all sorts of singing content, all that kind of stuff, singing videos, all that stuff on VR chat, things like that.
And I'm Arden Wolfsky, your online bartender, found on most platforms under the same handle.
You guys are here to talk about this charity fundraiser you guys are working on. Can you tell us about that?
Absolutely. The fundraiser we're doing for Pride Month for this year. And like I've been doing this fundraiser. This is my third year doing it. And this year I decided to partner with Arden. And together we formed the team of Paws for Pride. And we're running this fundraiser for an organization known as Trans Lifeline, which this organization basically helps out trans people in crisis through both running a hotline, but also offering micro grants to trans people in need. So part of the fundraiser, what we're doing is one of the parts is we actually have a t-shirt. It's kind of a texture. Right now it's set up specifically for the Winter Paw canine. But, and if Arden turns around, you can actually see the back of the shirt as well. So this texture is available currently on Gumroad for basically, and any money that's made beyond the Gumroad's fees is going directly into the charity. And then also mentioning for any other avatars out there, if you have t-shirts, you want this design to go onto that t-shirt, you can reach out to me through any of my social media at Last Ursa, and we can certainly work something out so that we can get this texture onto a t-shirt for any avatar. So just let me know.
To further the celebration of the community, as well as bring attention to this cause, we'll be hosting two special events. The first one on June 14th at 8 p.m. We'll be streaming live from our platforms in Fursuit and getting into some furry shenanigans, having some great discussions. The second one will be on June 28th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time as well. And we'll be doing a community game night, having friends stop by, visit, play games with us. It'll be a great time. And then additionally, we'll be hosting a raffle. So anyone who donates to the event will be put into the raffle to win a custom designed cocktail by me, as well as some other fantastic prizes.
I remember 2 years ago at FWA, you made a custom drink for every single podcaster on the Top Dogs podcast. Your drinks were amazing. So anybody who wins that contest, I can guarantee you, you're going to be happy and satisfied.
Thanks.
I did.
Oh my God. Wait, that's one's for me?
Mm-hmm.
Or everybody has a different... Oh, no way.
Are you kidding?
You guys, you made a different drink for every one of us.
I'm the drippy boy.
Okay. Yeah, that is fucking awesome.
You can just market that?
I'm right here.
Fictitious.
You're working it. For sure.
Fictitious grumpy?
You will
Oh, thank you so much. It was a lot of fun working with you guys to make those. They're fantastic drinks as well. But yeah, anyone who donates, just please make sure to include your username and the best platform to reach you in the message section, can't talk, on the donation page.
To be able to join us for either of these live events, be sure to check out both Arden and my social media. We'll have links to both our TikToks or our Twitch stream channels so that you'll be able to join us and then hang out with us. And we really look forward to seeing you at these events.
Also, a big thank you to the Top Dogs crew for having us here to help spread the word. We really appreciate it and all that you do for the community as well.
Yes,
absolutely. We love helping out. And if we can reach out as many people as possible for this charity event, that's going to be a good thing. It's going to be a win for everybody.
Yes,
absolutely.
Absolutely. Happy Pride Month, everyone.
Yay, Pride Month. Gotta end with a good day. Welcome to the Top Dogs Podcast. In this episode, we're diving into the topic of healing from narcissism. We'll discuss what narcissism is and how it manifests in relationships, recognize the sign of narcissistic abuse, and explore the key traits and behavior of narcissistic individuals. We will share their personal experiences and the emotional and psychological effects of such relationships, including impacts on self-esteem and identity. Join us as we provide insights and encouragements for those on the healing journey on this episode of the Top Dogs Podcast, Healing from Narcissism. I'm Stream Arcadet.
And I'm Whiplash Wolf.
I'm XX Moo Moo.
And I'm Kofi Cola, and I'm going to be today's moderator because I, for one, know that I am recovering from dealing with people from narcissism, and I kind of want to hear from each of you guys, what is narcissism and how did it manifest in relationships in your guys' lives?
Special disclaimer, we want to make it clear that we are not mental health professionals. If you're experiencing the issues we discussed today, please seek professional help. We're just sharing from our own personal experiences.
With that being like the topic though, I feel like I'm kind of recovering and healing from dealing with people from narcissism, but I kind of want to hear like each of your guys' experiences with dealing with narcissism and what you guys view as is narcissism and how did it manifest in your guys' personal relationships. I'm not sure who wants to go first on that one. It's kind of a heavier topic.
I would like to go first. Before we actually dive completely into the answer, I want to bring up the fact that first and foremost, there's very much so a difference between someone acting narcissistically and then also someone actually having a narcissistic personality disorder. Someone can have the mild traits of narcissistic tendencies, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they have the disorder. So I want to make sure that we all know that narcissistic personality disorder is a long-term debilitating disorder, and it affects literally every piece of your life, every relationship you have, your work, your jobs, your friendships, even just in general your self-image. So you have to make sure that you don't cross the wires between the two. Personally, for me, in my relationship, I dealt with someone who was a narcissist growing up. That was my mother. She always had a very harsh air of entitlement. She was very manipulative and took credit for any of the accomplishments that I had, and she was quite apathetic towards me. Any praise that I would get, whether it was that or like art or whatever, she would make a way to just make it about her.
Wow. That is, like, having someone that close, that has really got to be hard to have grown up with.
So it is, Mumu, like you said, there's a big difference between having an actual narcissistic personality disorder, NPD, versus showing traits. As an individual, I am not a psychologist. I do not have the requirement to be able to judge or give somebody a diagnostic, but I can observe certain traits. Me, personally, in my life, I had it happen twice. One of them thought that they were amazing, they were the big shot, they look young and everything, and they were never at fault. They literally argued that 300 people on a forum was wrong, and they were right. This was part when I used to cosplay a lot, and I've disassociated myself from that person because he was very toxic. The other one had a similar but better hidden way of showing it. It was more underground. He was more of a people pleaser. But the way I figured out is that he started to lack empathy and flexibility when it came to issues and personal problems. They refused to budge, and they completely ghosted me for a certain amount of time. But I'm glad to say that that situation has been resolved, and I've actually noticed an improvement in the behavior of the person. So that's really cool. Whether it's like 1% of improvement or 100% improvement is improvement, and I will always recognize that.
For sure, for sure.
What about
sure.
you, Whiplash?
See, I don't think I've actually like met someone with like diagnosed with like actually being narcissistic. I have a friend who, well, I met him years ago. He's still my friend. I've known him for 10 plus years. Like, he's narcissistic about certain things. Like, he thinks that if he doesn't get his way with certain things, that whatever it is just trash, garbage, is not good. Nothing can ever come good from it himself. To be fair, the past few years, I've actually noticed that, like, that side of him has been getting a lot less chaotic. And he's actually been, like, learning more and becoming less aggravated, less narcissistic about those certain types of things that he deals with. Honestly, it's not really anything important. It's about video games. It's the same way of life with like road rage. He has the same thing. Like if someone is just like on the road in front of him, just doing something, you know, it's just normal. He just thinks they need to get off the road and just, you know, never drive again because he's there's in his way.
There's a possibility it could be OCD. I know some people, they can be very, very specific, picky about certain subjects. So maybe it's that. I don't know. Do you think it could be OCD or you think actually it is narcissism?
No, it's narcissism. Because trust me, I have OCD.
Oh, okay.
And it's not bad.
It's not bad at all. For me, I've dealt with narcissism a couple of times. I've dealt with it with friends and even in a past relationship. The point of their narcissism became abusive, manipulation, along with not just me but the other people around him, using whatever he could to move however he could, which is never great. But they thankfully are out of my lives, and we're all on that path to recovery in some sort of way, because like I feel like it's impossible to not deal with someone who has a little bit of narcissism. And with that, how was the first time that you recognized signs of narcissistic abuse? What were some of the key traits or behaviors of that narcissistic individual? Because for me, it really became more noticeable when a lot of my interactions involved around what they wanted, because they were using their narcissistic traits to kind of skew my vision on a lot of things. And that was, I think, the worst of it for me.
There's a few signs that you can definitely notice, but the funny thing about this whole thing is that narcissistic people, they don't even know that they are. They have a grandiose sense of their own importance. They have a need for constant attention and admirations from others. They also tend to lack empathy. They're unable or like literally unwilling to acknowledge the needs or and feelings of other people because they have a really high opinion of themselves and their own status. And they tend to associate themselves with people that have also high statuses because they believe that they deserve no less, literally. Like they think they're better than everyone. They also tend to take advantage of people. Like you are a friend to them because you have a purpose towards him. You bring something to him that you need. As soon as you stop fulfilling that role, they diss you aside. It doesn't matter if he's known you for a week, a year, a decade, they will toss you aside like an old piece of paper. They do not make a single difference. They don't have the same emotional attachment towards friends as we have. They tend to be also very envious of other people. They envy a lot. They always want to become better than everyone, and they can become quite arrogant if they don't get what they want. So these are the few things that you should definitely watch out for. Some of these traits, they might not have all of them, but it's a pointer to a few of them. What about you, Whiplash? You want to go for that one?
I've really actually never like dealt with narcissistic abuse. I never really had it like growing up with people I was friends with or having dealt with it. But I guess for the past few years, I've gotten better at like reading people's attitude and how they act with people. I don't know. I'm not sure how I got it, but like reading people is easy, like reading to like a book, honestly. Like reading their attitude is easy for me. And especially in the furry fandom, it's easy to like spot it, honestly. It's kind of easy to spot the ones out because usually most of them aren't really quiet about it anymore. Otherwise, I really haven't dealt with it myself, like narcissistic abuse, but I'm sorry that you guys have dealt with it personally.
I mean, like what Pink says in her song, what doesn't kill you make you stronger, emotionally speaking. Every time you face challenges and stuff in your life, you're actually learning. So every life experiences you go through makes you stronger. So I think it's a good thing. There's always a silver lining to every situation. As dark as it can be, there is a positive outcome somewhere. You learn something, and that is a good thing.
True. I will say, especially with how me and you're extroverted, we talk to people consistently. The more people you actually interact with in your life, especially if it's maybe personal or on VR chat or just online somewhere, it's easy to start reading people's like ideas and motives and like how they act towards you. And you can start like pointing stuff out very quickly with how they are acting. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. Like you notice something very early on and you're like, do I really want to keep interacting with this person? Because you just know it's going to go somewhere bad if you continue doing it.
one of the best quotes for, especially when it comes to like the furry fandom or dealing with people close to you, from BoJack Horseman.
You know, it's funny. When you look at someone through rose-colored glasses, all the red flags just look like flags.
Oh yeah, Andres knows that.
That's funny. What about you, Moo Moo?
So, growing up, obviously, with a narcissist, when you're a kid, you don't tend to realize a lot of things. My parents divorced really early when I was like 4. Quite frankly, I don't remember a lot of my childhood, but the parts that I do tend to remember a lot was at points where my mother was ignoring me, which would be a lack of empathy and just being very apathetic towards me. And then occasionally it would be like my mom would neglect my emotional needs, you know, like as a kid, when you grow up, it's very much so that your parents are supposed to be there for you and protect you and try and help you. But it was always me being ignored or my mother neglecting me emotionally or sometimes even physically, and she would push me aside unless I was able to be there for her for like appearances and stuff. So that is another thing, which would be like the constant need for admiration and praise and that sense of entitlement. Growing up, the parts that I do still remember very much was basically her villainizing me. She would villainize me, and whenever I'd have something good happen, she'd twist it and make sure that everyone knew that I had that good thing happen to me because of her, which is another thing, which is jealousy, competitiveness, and those manipulation tactics where they just twist things around and push it to the forefront that everything happens because of them, and that's their world, and it revolves around them.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And like I had mentioned, pride earlier being something that could be construed as a healthy form of self-confidence, but how can you distinguish like when is pride and when is narcissism or other forms of healthy self-confidence? Like, how can you distinguish the two?
I think it is a pretty easy one. The biggest one, in my opinion, is be able to take criticism and be willing to improve yourself. That is what somebody that has self-confidence has, because they understand that they are not perfect. They're humans. They can fail. They can do stupid things sometimes. But narcissistic people, they are never at fault. Everybody else would be at fault other than them. Like my first friend I had before, a whole forum was wrong and he was right. This was the biggest flag ever. I think there's great pride to be had when you're able to take criticism and try to learn from it. We do stupid things sometimes and we can hurt other people. It's not us to decide how they should feel. Whether you did something intentionally or not, you hurt their feelings and you should acknowledge that and respect that. Make them feel like they understood, and then after that, like, okay, what can I do better next time? And then work with it. But narcissistic people will never do that. Ever, ever. They will ghost you, and they will turn the situation around to make you feel bad.
I see you agreeing over there, Moo Moo. Do you have anything else to add to that?
Yeah, I do. So, I do want to point out that narcissism is very much a spectrum. In actual terms, narcissism exists on a spectrum of all these different symptoms. And there is considered a healthy amount to being narcissistic and not. Very much so, it is a healthy amount of pride that is like small little pieces and be like, yeah, you know, like I'm very happy with myself like that, you know. I'm proud of the person that I'm becoming and everything. Like, there's very much a difference between, oh, I'm better than everyone else, or I'm proud of myself.
I mean, yes, that's very much true. Because I could say I have grown self-confidence over the past few years. I used to have absolutely zero. But growing self-confidence, it's hard to do it, but it's also, if you actually don't think of yourself highly, like someone who's narcissistic, you can actually work on yourself and actually listen to others about what you may be doing, fix your ways. I mean, I used to have no self-confidence, so I was like, all right, everything I'm doing is bad, so I don't know what to do. And then, just like that randomly before, it just kind of clicked in my head, and I started doing things like making myself better, started doing things that made my mindset better, put me in a better place, and I started to enjoy it more often. And being narcissistic isn't saying like, oh, what I'm doing is right. It's just about making yourself happy. And God, it's kind of hard when you have no sleep trying to discuss something.
it is a delicate subject.
It really is. I'm trying to like describe it the perfect way. Self-confidence is just pretty much like, I used to have none, and now I have some, and I know some things that I'm doing are correct, but I will like to listen to other people first about, you know, something I may be doing, just in case. I like to take criticism, because criticism is something a narcissist wouldn't take personally. They will just be like, nah, fuck you. You ain't right. That's my one beat for the show.
Well, honestly, there's a lot of stuff they can do. They can do some real emotional damage, that's for sure. I'm kind of curious, what are some common emotional and psychological effects of being involved with a narcissist? Have you ever found that narcissistic abuse impacts one's self-esteem and their sense of identity? Kofi, you want to start with that one?
Yeah, one that I suffer with now is what, like, Whiplash is still going through and has recovered a bit, is, like, growing that self-confidence. Like, one of the things that has kind of, like, beaten into me, like, even at a young age that I didn't necessarily notice earlier on, but with that abusive ex, was I am worthless, and no matter what I do, I cannot be enough, and I need to rely and other people to do anything. And that kind of mental loop is very hard to break overall. Like, without the right support of like friends or close ones or even professional help, like it's a very dark spiral that anyone can really fall into. I mean, it, like, overall it does really sound similar to growing up with your mother. Like, if you're not providing anything, you are nothing.
Goes back to the saying that, you know, you are around because you serve them a purpose. They get use out of you. What do you think, Moo Moo?
I have borderline personality disorder and CPTSD, which is complex PTSD, from the narcissistic abuse that my mother put me through. Borderline personality disorder, quite frankly, hinders me a lot, because I'll have really good times and I'll have really bad times. They're both cluster B personality disorders, being categorized, which means that they affect a lot of your emotions and behaviors and thoughts. And they very much so impact your sense of self and your, you know, ego. It's infected a lot of my self-image and my actual ability to regulate my emotions and be able to set healthy boundaries with people. And I've worked a lot on improving myself that way. I still have a lot of periods of stress-induced paranoia. I have wild episodes where I will literally lose touch with reality, and I will block myself in and self-isolate and just not be able to come out of that episode for, like, sometimes hours, even days and months. Like, it has really affected me to, like, a very personal level. I've had to learn how to cope. I've had to try new medications, get off new medications, psychiatrists galore. I've been to the psych ward a few times. It's just, a lot of it is consistent work on yourself. It's not easy, but it is doable.
I think some of the emotional and psychological effect of narcissism is definitely losing your self-esteem and your self-love. You tend to lack these over time, and it's already something that is really hard to get. And having somebody narcissistic in your friend circle definitely does not help and can literally destroy any progress that you've made. They have those psychological handcuffs on your mental well-being. You can't escape it. It's really hard to get out, because you think that you're not worth having anybody else other than this person because he keeps forgiving you all the time. It's terrible. Honestly, it's very, very damaging. So that's why noticing it as soon as possible is the most important thing, in my opinion. Having the strength to pull a move too is quite difficult because you have no self-esteem. They got that grasp on you. You don't have the energy to walk out that door. You can't. You're stuck with them in some sort of way because they destroyed you on a mental aspect of thing.
They also tend to put you in a bubble and just kind of treat you however they want to, and then show the outside world when you misbehave towards them. They very much so manipulate the people around you to have this exact self-image in their head.
See, the way I'm trying to explain my situation is, I don't think these people had narcissism, but I have been, like, honestly kind of, like, used and been just kind of, like, tossed away by quite a few people at this point, honestly. And it gets immensely annoying. And to be fair, even if they're not narcissistic, it has, like, mentally breaking me down, to be fair. Because you just start feeling like, huh, does anyone actually care about you? Or are you just some person someone can get some use out of you and then just kind of toss you away? Maybe that probably is narcissism, actually, the more I think about it.
So it sounds like one definite warning sign that someone might fall into some narcissism or to some narcissistic people. What might be some other signs someone might see?
Well, I think one of the biggest warning signs that you can get is when you constantly question yourself. Whether it's something you said, something you did, or even like your very own decision, when you start questioning everything you do, that's a red flag. The other thing people tend to do is you'll take decisions and act a certain way to please that narcissistic person instead of doing it for yourself. The world doesn't revolve around you anymore. It's all about them, and they make sure that your world revolves around them. Like you mentioned earlier, Mumu, they put you in a bubble of their own reality, and it's really scary when you get out. You almost become like literally the person's servant. You have no room for your own well-being. It's terrible.
They quite literally become emotional vampires.
Yes.
Hey, overall, I don't think I can add anything else to that. That's like the biggest thing that I still, again, suffer with, and those mental loops of, oh, hey, you know, I need to please other people before myself. Constantly.
But yeah, I think the biggest question is like whenever they start talking about something, acting like they have knowledge about pretty much everything in the world, I mean, you start questioning their motives and questioning like how they're treating you.
A big thing about narcissism is communication can just bulldoze it. Like, if you are honest with someone and you have these conversations, you will see those red flags because you will see that they are very apathetic towards you. You'll see that they do not listen to you. They'll basically gloss over the issue, and you'll see like, hey, you know, I put in some input and you're just ignoring all of it, and you'll just be like, what the heck, why is this happening? I'm trying to fix an issue that we're having and they're just ignoring it. Someone who is not narcissistic will listen to you and try and take things into account.
They'll try to understand your perspective.
Exactly.
Yes.
While a narcissistic person will flip the situation around and tell you, like, how dare you ask me this question? I thought it was clear.
Exactly.
You're making me feel bad. I thought friends didn't make feel each other bad, but yet they're doing it. So it's really weird. It's very toxic. Conversation lead nowhere. They just escalate.
Stay in the loop with Top Dogs Podcast by subscribing to our YouTube channel and ringing that notification bell. Follow us on your favorite podcast platform and hit that follow button to get notified about every new episode. Show your love by leaving a quick rating and connect with our community on our Discord and Telegram. You'll find all the links in our link tree below. Thank you for all that support.
Hey, Top Dogs fan, you want to snag some awesome perks while supporting us? Check out our server subscription on Discord or Patreon. Become a podcast supporter and get access to exclusive behind-the-scenes footage, join supporter meetups, use custom hand-drawn emojis featuring the Top Dogs team, and chat with the podcast team and fellow fans. Plus, don't miss the new After Dogs show for mature audiences at just $2.99 a month.
And if you're craving more, you can upgrade to the Podcast Supporter Plus for $5. $5.99 a month. Enjoy episode voting, suggest podcast episodes, and join our live audience without needing a VR chat account or VR headset as we stream the live audience on our Discord server. Plus, get exclusive peeks of upcoming ideas, merch drops, and much more in the future. There's no obligation to join these subscriptions, but your support genuinely means a huge difference for our team. And for those who already subscribed, a heartfelt thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
But if you don't go subscribe to our podcast or any of the audio platforms, I'm going to come to your house and give you the tired, and you're going to hate it.
Not the tired.
No!
We also have some of our supporters that have answered our question this week. What advice would you give to someone struggling with the effects of narcissistic abuse? And to go off the list, we have Justin the Firewolf Dog saying, I would definitely tell them to go see a guidance counselor. And Brody says that they would try to find someone you trust and tell them to get help they need. A lot of these are ringing a very similar tune. Really, it's just a lot of seeking help. Riley is saying, I would see if there'd be a local support group nearby and try to get advice from the group. Which, honestly, for me, this is kind of what I'm doing. I'm getting my advice from my group here. Riker, who is part of the team, says, I would advise them to reach out to a professional or support group who would let them understand that they are not alone and would like to help them. I'm not the greatest at advice, but I'll show my support by being by their side every step of the way. And that sounds like a wonderful good boy.
Good boy points for Riker. You get head pats. I'll give you a piece.
Sure.
Yeah, there's a lot of seek help, whether it be professional or groups or friends. What is your guys' opinions on that you would give someone struggling with the effects of abuse?
Honestly, probably them getting professional help would be the best idea for someone who is dealing with narcissism. Because, I mean, professional help would, at least in my opinion, be mainly the only way, because there's really a rare chance of, like, you trying to have a one-on-one conversation with someone, trying to change their mind about something. I mean, I feel like it'd be hard trying to give someone who is narcissistic a chance to go to a psychiatrist to talk about, you know, the narcissism, because they won't think they have it. But, I mean, that'd be the best idea, is try to get someone some psychological help.
So I kind of want to change it for Mumu. What advice would you give someone for healing, like is struggling with healing?
Healing is never easy. It's a lot of work, and it's always going to be a lot of work. And it really is a struggle. If you are dealing with something like this, it's very important for you to actually go get help. You're not alone. You're not facing one person against the world. And the effects of abuse is very mentally taxing on a emotional and sometimes even physical, like, level. A lot of people that deal with narcissistic abuse tend to have memory issues. I have a lot of memory issues. There's always going to be someone out there who wants you to get better and cares, and you really just need to reach out. There are people who will be there. There's charities, there's support groups. There's ways to seek therapy that aren't, like, completely going to put you in the hole. There's a lot of things that you can do, and the most important step that you can do is start. Just start. Start getting that help.
Anything to add, Stream?
I think my best advice is, like everybody said it, just get help. But get a second opinion, too. Talk to friends, some people you trust, some people that you know won't go around and tell everybody else. Give them, like, a point of view of the situation and keep an open mind to maybe what they're saying. Maybe you're in the wrong. Maybe you're actually right. We don't know that because, you know, you're not a psychologist. You can't evaluate somebody else's personality. You have a direct contact with that person. So you need an external point of view on the situation. So seeking for help. If you cannot get help, ask for a friend. Tell them what's going on. Tell them what they think about it. And then maybe that will help you guide through the way of actually healing and protecting yourself from narcissistic abuse.
I would also like to say, if you are in a crisis, please reach out to someone. Like, if you are completely being dragged through the mud, you know, you are feeling awful about yourself, you are trying to bed rot, not do anything all day, please reach out to someone. Please. Even if it's just you doing a couple therapy sessions a month, just so you can get your thoughts out, anything can be helpful.
Absolutely.
Say with that, then, like, what are some other things that, let's say, because, like, I'm not a very smart dog. Some of y'all might know that, and I don't take the hints too lightly. So if I were to wind up in another situation where I'm dealing with a narcissist on a day-to-day basis, what can I do to help, like, fortify myself and my mind to kind of deal with them and deal with still going about my day-to-day life? Whip.
See, I haven't dated much, but out of my relationships, two or three of them have been this way, at least from my point of view. Is them trying to control what you do with your life, who you can hang out with, what time you can be home, because they want to spend time with you. They want to control your life, pretty much your life revolves around them and no one else that you may know or want to be around with. That's what I've dealt with. It's just people trying to control me so they can do what make me do whatever they want me to do for them, but I can't do whatever I want to do in my own time.
So what did you potentially do to help protect your own mental health during those situations?
Break up with them.
I mean, you're not wrong. You're not
honestly
wrong.
Fair.
Not wrong at all.
That is the best way to just make sure your mental health stays good, because if you stay, I've seen it personally with friends who have stayed in abusive relationships like that, you can see a change in them, and it's not good at all.
A way to protect yourself from somebody that is narcissistic, if you're stuck with them or you're like in a contract. Me, I had a situation where I was actually bound by a contract or a commission with this person. So it was really hard for me to move away from that person when I still had business. So me, what I did is I never gave in or believed into what they were saying. I stood my ground and I knew what I did was right and they were in the wrong. I tried to show them and I had an open mind and they kept taking over it, but I stood my ground. Narcissistic people, they like that feeling of control. So when you're not giving in, they start panicking. They don't like it. They start losing control. They're literally just like bats navigating in a cave. They produce an echo and they're waiting for a response because they use that to guide themselves. So if you're not like giving them any sort of response and you give them the silent treatment, oh, they don't like that. They really don't like that. So they can lose their temper really quick. So that's really important that you stand your ground, you don't say anything, and you stay very calm. Don't get to their level. It's going to be hard at first, but the more you do it, the better you'll become. You'll see.
Very much so. I completely agree with you, Stream. Just don't give them the light of day. Make sure that you set your boundaries, and when they try and push it, keep it there and be direct. You know, you have thoughts and feelings, and no one deserves to bulldoze them, even if your feelings are, you know, maybe a little out there. You still have the right to feel those the way you feel. And you need to make sure that no matter what happens, you stand your ground and be direct, because you're your own person. And quite frankly, you can't let anybody strip that away from you.
One of the biggest things that I've taken from my friends here that I hear from a lot of people that I would say like I look up to for the help that I get is your feelings matter. No matter what, your feelings matter. You feel that way for a reason. Sometimes it just takes a little bit of time talking it out and figuring out why you feel that way. But you said a lovely B word, boundaries. That's something else that I've learned a bit on, but I still struggle myself. You were talking about it too, but not even saying boundaries. But how can one set and maintain healthy boundaries in any sort of relationship, whether it be business, personal, with family members or partners or even friends?
I think the best thing to do is to do some research and find the red flags as soon as possible so you can protect yourself and set up a physical, mental, well, not a physical, but a mental shield to protect them from their attack. They will get very rude, impatient. They might give you some sort of like mental threat when they're not getting what they want, but that's exactly what they're trying to do. They try to get under your skin so that you lose your temper and you end up being the bad person because, oh, look, he got angry. He started yelling at me. But that's what they're trying to do. You will know that you're winning mentally against this person if they act like a way where they start to lose their temper. They start to act more aggressive. And most of the time when they don't get what they want, they end up just giving up and just ghosting you as a final attempt and hoping that silence will have a manipulative effect on you and be like, oh, I'm sorry, trying to come back because he's not giving you what he pretends he is giving you.
Narcissists are very reactive. They're reactive based. So again, don't give them that reaction, because when you withhold that reaction of anger, sadness, and you don't give them anything to react upon, that just cuts them off, because then they end up getting frustrated and angry and they try and take it out on you. And then they just kind of make a fool of themselves. So you just need to make sure that you are being direct and stating your feelings. You are making sure that you get your point across, but don't give them that reactionary, like, little bit.
Because what they will do is they will take that reaction you're having and turn it against you.
Exactly.
They twist the reality. They will use gaslighting. You know, It's a tactic that narcissists use. They will use gaslighting. They will use things against you, things you never said, never thought. And they will just, oh, the way you act, you make me feel this way. Therefore, you're this person. So be very wary of that. When you see that issues escalate really quickly and you're like, what the hell just happened? I just said that I wanted to have like toast in the morning instead of cereal. And the problem escalates because you're not eating what they want you to eat. That's usually a big red flag.
To be fair, though, I will eat cereal for dinner.
I don't mind. I can eat pizza for breakfast and cereal for going to bed.
Hell yeah. High five. Well, air five.
Air five.
my friend has a problem with me eating, like, cereal for dinner. It's like, it's good any time of the day.
Yeah.
So, we're talking about a bunch of red flags. Is there any other red flags that we can be mindful of when dealing with potential narcissists in our community?
When I started realizing that my mother was narcissistic, I very much so isolated, which caused my mental health to plummet. Don't do that, by the way. Do not self-isolate. That is bad. Your friends are your support system. You need to make sure that you are not self-isolating away from them, because that will just make your mental health plummet. But I was very depressed in high school. I would tell my mom how I felt, and she would just look at me and be like, you can't feel that way. You're a teenager. You know, like, you don't feel that way. I support you. I love you. I care about you. And she would just completely be like, oh, you have this in your life. You have a home. You know, you have food. You have security. You can't feel that way. And she would turn it around and make it to where if I were to say anything negative, or that would give her a negative connotation, I would be grounded. I would be punished. I would be even more isolated, because then I wouldn't be able to leave the house. When you see those things start happening, where someone starts turning the conversation around to where it has these negative reflections, you need to be mindful of that, because they will take that inch and they will run a mile and make you out to be the bad guy.
You explained it perfectly. I have nothing to add to this. This was perfect. That's exactly it.
Yeah, that's about the best you can get, honestly, with that.
I'm traumatized.
Yeah, no, you and me.
That will help. Unfortunately, that will help, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah.
They like to use gaslighting on you, too. That's another one they like to use.
Oh, the stoves.
Oh, God, gaslighting.
All the gaslighting.
God, I've been gaslighted so much, I can explode an entire city up.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh. But speaking with gaslight and the oil running a little low, it is getting kind of late. Do we have any final words of encouragement or wisdom for our listeners who are on their own journey of healing from narcissism? I think I'm going to start this off. It's not necessarily something that I would say definitely does help, but one thing that Stream actually kind of helped out and provided on one of their worlds, they had some yoga videos. or just like wellness videos. And like, I'm not on VR chat often, but you had the links at one point and I had them saved, and just having that time to like self-meditate and self-medicate in that sense, just to clear one's mind and just get back to breathing, it actually helps out a lot with the mental. And if anything, try to take 5-10 minutes out of your day just to breathe.
I agree. Yeah, I used to do the guided meditation sessions in my world. Now I just broadcast it through my avatar because it takes less space in the room, and also for Quest users it's easier for them. If you're starting to doubt yourself, honestly, this is when you should, you know, try to pick up that there's something going on. You don't necessarily know at the time, but there's definitely something going on. Every time you had like really good intentions and they escalated to a problem and you were the bad person, like Mumu explained earlier, that should be another red flag. You should pick up on that. Find a close friend or a relative that you can speak to, and they will have an unbiased opinion on the situation, and try to keep an open mind, just to make sure that you're showing the best interest in this thing, because it will actually end up making them look bad because they're not flexible. They're not willing to admit anything. And it's going to be pretty apparent when you're going to walk up to them. You're going to tell them that they did something wrong. And you, one thing I would tell you guys is never accuse them directly. Just say that, I feel this way when you do this. I feel a certain, don't say you did this and that was wrong. Never, ever do that, because that will automatically escalate the problem. Because you have to remember, they do not take criticism. They think they're perfect. They think they don't need help. So these people at some point in their life, they will need to hit a wall. They will hit it when everybody around them leaves and disappears from their life, until they're left with nobody else. They can't suck the energy out of anybody. Stick to your facts. Stick to what you believe is right. And if it means that you need to cut yourself off from this person, then just do it. It's going to be hard at first. It's going to be a massive struggle, but you're giving yourself a massive service by doing it. And you'll see that you'll feel immediately better. You'll feel this weight get off your shoulder. And that is super rewarding.
See, I have nothing to follow up with that. That's just the best thing to go after.
I will say, when you are trying to heal, it's good to put yourself out there. It's good to make sure that you're going and getting out of the house, whether it just be groceries, you know, and just maybe a small trip to like the convenience store down the road, or even a walk. Feel the sun, feel the breeze in your hair, something. It makes the world feel a lot more peaceful. It's good to go out there and find something to do and be passionate about what you do, and find something maybe like painting therapy or like cuddle therapy. You know, there are things that you can do that are small and small steps, and it can help you be passionate about getting better and can push you forward.
Beautiful. But yeah, with that, I believe that wraps up today's group therapy session on dealing with narcissism. Thank you all for watching, and we hope to see you all next time. Bye.
Good night.
Have a good night, everyone. Good day, good morning, good evening. Take care of yourself. We believe in you. You have to stand up. You'll get through this. Yes. If you're good dealing with narcissistic abuse, you got this. You got it.
And don't forget to reach out. You know, if you need help, reach out.
Absolutely.
Don't forget to touch grass. Go outside and touch grass.
Don't forget to touch grass.
Take deep breaths. All right. Good night, everyone.
Good night.